today on Real Ghost Stories Online, going to Grandpa's house should be fun. You shouldn't have to worry about hands with long fingers wrapping around the door frame.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call and share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Get access to all of our material with no commercials, ad-free. Binge away on all of the archive, the new episodes. You get them well before everybody else. And it's all there for you. Exclusive bonus episodes. It's all at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Or if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's the easiest way to do it. Just go to our premium page right there for Real Ghost Stories Online, and you get access to all of it there when you sign up. You can even try it for 3 days free through Apple Podcasts right now. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, did you guys have bad weather this weekend like we did?
We got lucky. It was all around us, but it like kept kind of missing my direct city. But there were several cities like not far away that had it was a tornado pretty close in a town called Siloam Springs, right on the Oklahoma border. But right here in Northwest Arkansas, in like the Fayetteville, Rogers, Bentonville area, we were okay. We got lucky. A lot of rain.
It's kind of like us. We got lucky, but there was tornadoes in my county.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I heard like total, I think it was Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, this whole band, maybe into Iowa. There was 90 some tornadoes.
It was nuts. Yeah. I was up all Saturday. Yeah. It was Saturday night because they were predicting tornadoes like 2 a.m. And I'm like, do I want to stay up or what? And they just kept getting pushed back further and further in time. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to bed. I'm going to set my alarm to wake me up at like 1:30 and see where things are at. So I did. And it just kept like being pushed around, and things were north and south, and eventually nothing really hit here, thank God. But
it was poured here in like intense thunderstorms. Yeah. But luckily, no tornadoes in my town, but there's a lot of people affected.
I was keeping an eye on it in case me and Harper had to go to the basement, but luckily we did not. And I asked her the next day, I'm like, did you stay up with the storm? She's like, oh no, I love sleeping through storms. It's great.
You're good.
I'm like, okay.
I tell you.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't have a basement. And so it's like this, okay, I could get my dog easily and take him to an interior room in my house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the cats.
Yeah. I know. We have
I've got two cat carriers for that reason. So I could put them in one. But my God, just the idea of herding cats.
Well, my cat Bubbles lives in the basement. So that's already good. And he's pretty, like, if you're down there, he wants to be by you. So he's an easy one to get. Winnie is our outside cat, but she pretty much just hangs out around this area and kind of near the basement patio. So when it was like 8 o'clock at night on Saturday, we brought Winnie in just so she was in the house. So we were like trying to, you know, get her to show up. So she was in the house all night. And then she said a nice big thank you to us for letting her stay in the house that night away from the storms by shitting in front of the television. So it's like, you're welcome, Winnie. Thank you. Time to go back outside. The weather's nice.
You do have litter boxes.
I do. But that's one of the reasons Winnie ended up living outside, because Winnie likes to protest the litter boxes. But she was an outside cat for a good chunk of her life before I got her. So I don't know.
It's just hard when they're used to being outdoors to bring them indoors.
So she loves it outside, and she's got couches. She's got a little heated cat house that she can go into when it's cold. So she's very well treated. I feed her out there, and she just hangs out all the time. She's just by the window. It's kind of funny how far away from the window she can be sometimes, and she'll know that we're in the basement. You just see her like trotting up to the door, just looking in the window, like, anybody in there? Anybody can come out? Pet me? So Yeah.
That's so cute.
Good cat.
My cats don't even know you could go to the bathroom outside. That's
wow.
Literally the other day I had them in the backyard and they came in and one of them ran to the litter box. It's like, you could have done that outside.
Put a litter box outside. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's get our first ghost story at 855-853-4802. Hi. Let's hear it. As soon as you want to open.
Hey guys. Stephanie from Wyoming here again. You recently played one of my stories, which I so appreciate. And it was really cool, yeah, to hear it for myself just now on the drive home. So as promised, I'm back with one of my own personal stories this time, not someone else's, even though it was a good one. And I hope it's just as good as his was. So I have had, paranormal experiences as far back as I can remember, and I've also been drawn to it and interested in it, maybe even before those experiences began, as far back as I can remember as a child. And I don't really even know why that is. One of my experiences was at my beloved grandmother's home in Arizona. I grew up spending every summer at her house, and it was really just became like a second home to me. And just like in everyone's grandmother's home, it seems, she had a pink room. Of course, it was mine. She said I chose, they left up the color to me as like a five-year-old, and I said, of course, pink. So they like did a hot pink, like sponge dye all over this room, including the closet doors, had a bunk bed in it for whenever me and my family came to visit. The situation, the family situation was, it was my grandparents, my grandfather, my grandmother at their home here. And when we came to visit, it was my mom, dad, me as the older sister, and my little sister. And for age reference, I think I was around 12 at the time. And that means my little sister must have been around like 3 or 4 at the time. So it was us and our dog when we'd come to visit. And we'd all stay in the pink room. And my parents would sleep on like the big, more full bed bottom bunk. And I was up on that top twin bunk. And my little sister was in her little toddler bed against kind of the inside wall of the doorway to the room. So she is like her bed kind of right to the left as soon as you walked in the room. And then you, you know, the bunk bed is kind of like in the corner of the room, the furthest corner of the room. And it was a pretty small room. Also had some fun white wicker furniture in there. Also notable for the story, on the white wicker dresser, there was this dimmer lamp that we kind of like leave on every night. So one night, staying up late with my grandparents, I was very, very, I am to this day, very close to them, would talk to them about everything under the sun. And we would have, you know, it kind of became our tradition, is where we would stay up till 3, 4, sometimes 5, till the sun comes up. I'm talking just all night long with them about everything. And one of the topics this night, which I don't think it was such a late night this night, it's important to note, was my uncle that had unfortunately passed away at the age of 13. So their son, it was my mom's side of the family. So it would be her younger brother that passed away when he was 13, she was 16. And then they had a younger brother too, my other uncle, and they lost their middle child, kind of in a weird, semi-mysterious circumstance of drowning at a lake. He was a very strong swimmer. They don't really know, like, understand why he would go down in the water and never come up. And anyway, I was just learning of this story for the very first time, you know, as a 12, 13-year-old. I think she just barely thought it appropriate to kind of tell me the details. But he was the topic of discussion that night. I feel like this is important to note because I don't know if what I experienced later might have been my uncle, might have been something related to him, might have been something they called in, just, or maybe it was even nothing at all and might have been in my mind and I was just creeped out by this topic. So I'm not really sure, but I do remember this was what we were talking about before I went to bed that night. So I'm up late talking about my uncle and the circumstances of his passing with my grandparents. We finish up our discussion and I'll decide, you know, to go to sleep. And I go to the pink room and it's very dim. In there with the dimmer lights, but I crawl up there and go to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, I I don't know the time because there wasn't a clock. I'm guessing though, it was around probably 2 or 3 a.m. Hate to say that, but it was. But all of a sudden, I am laying in my cot bunk. My eyes are just drawn for no reason. It's not like there was movement or anything, but are drawn to this spot on the door frame. Okay. Above my little sister's head, you know, I would say midway, about mid height where like a person would be. And I'm just staring at this spot on the door frame with the dim light, staring and into the long, dark hallway. The hallway is pitch black out there across, and right across from the pink room is a bathroom, an empty bathroom. I feel overwhelmingly terrified for no reason at that point. And while I'm staring at this spot, it's even so hard for me to say, because to this day, I'm like, I can't believe that this even happened. So it sounds a little unreal, even just me repeating it, but I saw a black hand with inhumanly long fingers wrap around the door frame, like as if somebody was in the hallway that you couldn't see, and all they did was stuck their hand and fingers and wrap them slowly, like in a row, like, you know, when you tap your fingers, like from, like on a desk, it's like they wrapped them like as creepy as possible around this door frame. And these fingers weren't, I'll never forget, because I was staring at this hand and it felt like it was in slow motion. It wasn't solid. The dead middle of these fingers were almost solid black, but the edges were like fuzzy and see-through. And that's how, and besides how long the fingers were, it was like double or three times what human fingers should be. Sorry, my heart is like racing even just telling this story, which to me is the only indicator that I know that like this really happened to me as a preteen, a teenager. And I'm now in my 30s, and this still makes me feel this way, is the only sign to me that something really happened that night, and I'm just not, it wasn't a dream, it's just not something my young mind made up and I've carried through the years. But the dimmer light dimmed almost to completely off at the same exact time that this hand wrapped around the door frame. What, looking back at that was funny, that light, we would push it into the position as low as it could go every night because it was still quite bright. It was almost too bright still. And then you had to click it into an off position to even shut off. So it did not go lower than what it was already set at. And the moment that this entity wrapped its hand around the door frame, the light almost shut off completely, got impossibly dark. To be honest with you, that's all I really remember. I don't remember the way it disappeared. I don't remember if it slowly faded. I feel like I blinked and it was gone, but I also feel like I was there for hours. I don't know. Maybe that is a case of like time being lost in a way, or I was just so frozen with fear that I sort of lost track of time. And my eyes, I don't feel like I blinked for hours until my trance was broken by my grandfather waking up for his early morning security job at like 4 a.m. And he went into the bathroom, flipped on the light across the hall from us. And that made me feel instantly, you know, safe and better and comfortable. And I think I just fell asleep after that. But bear in mind, you guys, my whole family was in that room, in the pink room with me when I saw that thing. I have never been so scared in my young life at that point where I froze like a deer and my parents were right underneath me. So I could have woken them up, but I've never seen anything paranormal with my own eyes since then. I told my grandmother, I believe, about it more the next day than my parents, because they probably brushed it off knowing them. But, you know, she tried to make light of it and was like, oh, you know, maybe it was your Uncle Victor just saying hi or trying to visit you. And I just immediately just knew it wasn't, in my heart. Like, I just believe that family doesn't scare you like that. It felt inhuman to me, and it felt like it really wanted me scared that night. But yes, she still owns that home. I still have to go visit. It is still pink, but I have not had another experience like that there since. As usual, I love what you do. Keep doing it. You guys rock. And I'll call in again soon with the next one. Thanks, guys.
The idea of the fingers coming around the corner, that's just, yeah, that's
so
a lot.
Creepy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it has anything at all to do with the uncle. It just doesn't feel connected to me. I know that they were sitting up late talking about him and his passing, but it doesn't feel like the uncle.
Well, I think quite often when we die, we turn into creepy monsters and we get
with
really long fingers.
Like fingers with long hands.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And we're designed then to terrorize our family. And I think that that's probably what happened. He was there to terrorize and, you know, scar and ruin lives.
But it was interesting to hear her because, like, it still shakes her up.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Uncle should not be scarring his poor little knees.
Yeah, that's usually not a nice thing to do, you know. Shouldn't do
that. They need to have a conversation.
I agree. They should sit down and talk that out. Uncle, why do you got the long fingers going on? That's not okay. That's freaking me out. Now, I doubt it's the uncle either, but
I wonder if, it's a weird thing to happen just as a one-off. Like, is anybody else experiencing things in that house? Because it would just be weird for one thing, like a weird hand with mm-hmm. long, creepy fingers. That's just kind of a weird thing to happen if nothing else has happened in the house.
I agree. It's a little bit odd.
Until she saw a picture of her uncle and recognized the hands.
Yeah, just a little bit odd there. A creepy one. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802. Of course, the phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, sign up. Real Ghost Stories Online. Just go to ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories, or Apple Podcasts and sign up there. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another edition of Real Ghost Stories Online.